Swelling on, breaking off, breaking eyes. Still want the act, not the ghost. Well, hello and welcome to the DC UK podcast. This is season 5 and it's episode 17. And as always, I'm your host, James Graham. I apologise, we had some technical issues with going live and I've just had to rush around and go to an old bit of software that I haven't used for a long, long time. But I think we're there and we are almost ready to kick off. Let me just say thank you if you are joining me live. Appreciate it. Please drop a message in the chat. And if you've got any thoughts or questions, then do let me know. But we've got a bit of a packed show, shall we say. We've got the trivia time is making its comeback this week after we had guest DC Who last week. So I'm thinking of alternating week on week. Then we've got our sort of news, talking points, no guest this week. I don't know why I was about to say that. Then we've got the match review from the game at the weekend. But we've also got the game this weekend against Philadelphia Union. And then we've got your questions. So at the end of the show. So if you've got any questions and you want them answering, please, like I said, do get them in on the chat and do let me know. But this week's trivia time, let's kick things off with that, shall we? So as always, when I do trivia time, I always think about doing based on the opponent that we have in the game coming up. So this week, like I said, we've got Philadelphia Union. So this week's question is, last time DC United beat Philadelphia Union at Audi Field, it was back in 2021. And that was the 3-1 win, but who scored the own goal that gave Philly their goal? So last time we beat Philadelphia Union at Audi Field, it was back in 2021, almost 2 years ago to the day. It was on the 30th of August 2021, one of those two dates I'll get mixed up. Because I went to see them in 2018, this exact fixture, at that sort of time of year. So it feels like we tend to play Philadelphia Union at the back end of August, pretty much every year. But yes, so that was the 3-1 win in 2021. But who scored the own goal that gave Philadelphia Union their goal? Answers on a postcard or in the chat. One of the two. And then, yeah. We'll see who gets it right at the end of the show. So, give me 2 Uno Mementos. Just whilst you're thinking about that, do let me know what you think about the game this weekend. Intrigued to hear what you're thinking. Also, let me know about what you're thinking about the the game from last weekend. Sorry. My mind gone blank. I'm trying to do multiple things at once. It's never easy, but yes. Are you ready for some news and talking points? Because there's a few things that we need to go through. I hear yeses. So let's do it. So we got the news. I didn't hear anything on my end. So I really do hope the audio came through on your end. But yeah, so there's a few things that we've got going on. And unfortunately, we are in 10th place in the league. There's been a lot of comments, especially over on Discord, about what's to be done. So we've got 6 of the remaining 9 games at home. Is it in our hands? That's the big question. Is our ability to reach the postseason in our hands? Now, there's been maths, there's been working out, there's been this, that, and the other. And the news is, yes, it is in our hands. We've got ample opportunity. We've got 3 home games in a row. So we really need to get all the fans on board and really going for it over the next few games. So we've got Philadelphia, Chicago, and then San Jose, if I remember rightly. Over the next few weeks. I'm really hoping we can pick up some points. I think we could probably end up picking up a point this weekend. I think we should be able to beat Chicago Fire next weekend. The San Jose one is probably one of the ones that we might lose, but, you know, there's always opportunities, shall we say. We've got people coming back. We've got things going in our direction, shall we say. And there's I hate saying it, but there's hope. Not optimism, but hope. And that's the big thing. So let me know what you think about how we could do. Do you rate our chances of making the postseason? Let's see. Stu, got to make the most of home advantage. We got this. That's absolutely the right thing to be thinking there. Why can't I do anything about that? Let's click OK. Let's go back. Sorry, this is so frustrating. I wish I could do a little bit more. And I wasn't rushing around. But, you know, we're getting there. Hopefully, I can get back to the comments. Just give me 2 seconds. Apparently, I've got to say yes on my phone to signing in onto my Gmail account. No, not now. I don't want to do any more recovery stuff. I'm fine. I'm okay. Right, here we go. We've got the chat. That's not very big. Let's move that along. There we go. We are back. I can do chats. We are here. Woohoo! Right. So, other bits. Now, we had a little bit of a rumor come through. From at DCU_soccer, he's a chap who does, it was just a normal account. He has some hot takes, shall we say, and he's had it on the grapevine that there's been rumors circulating that the club might be getting sold. Now, if you just left it there, that could be some great news right there. That's what we've been kind of wanting for a little while, because things seem to have got stale. We don't seem to be moving forward in any way, shape or form as a club. Yes, we had opened Dowdy Field back in 2018, but that's 5 years ago now. We've not won anything for a decade. We've not even looked like we are even with a shout of doing anything. So we need some fresh eyes, some fresh board members, new at front office that would help move things forward. Now, on the back of that, though, there's been a little clause that's saying that there's a potential move to Baltimore. Now, I'm going to take this with a huge pinch of salt, like the biggest pinch of salt that you could ever get. Let's just say the salt flats isn't a big enough pinch of salt for this. So last time there was anything Baltimore related with the club was MLS Next Pro team. So I don't know whether that's... Maybe it's getting mixed up, potentially, but we shall see. The guy behind the account hasn't been very forthcoming in any more information about who the source is, but he said he wants to reveal it. So I would like to see that being revealed, and like to have a bit more information, but it's been a single tweet, nothing more, nothing less. So that's that. I'll be, again, intrigued to hear what you're thinking about that. Would you be happy in the club being sold? First and foremost, that out of the way. But secondly, would you be happy with the team moving? It wouldn't make much sense. The fact that, yes, we've got Audi Field. They've opened up the training complex over at Loudoun County. So it really doesn't make much sense to move the club when they've spent so much money doing that and so much taxpayer money as well. Let's not forget that. So yeah, intriguing. Next up on my list is something that a footballer from Spain, who plays in Spain. He's from France. He's a forward. Now he's come out and said that he wants to come over and play in Major League Soccer. That player in question is Antoine Griezmann. He's currently at Atletico Madrid, and he would like to finish his career over in MLS. Now, we don't want to be known as a retirement league, but obviously we've got Messi coming over, and he's taken to the league by storm, shall we say, scoring in pretty much every single game, apart from the game against Cincinnati. He didn't score against them, but he did make an assist to help them equalise in the like 97th minute or something daft like that in the Open Cup, and they won on penalties, so that's them in a final. The Messi effect is happening in front of our very own eyes right now. Antoine Griezmann, I think if he came to DC United, I'd be quite happy about that. A little bit of an attacking player. I know we've got a few players already. Unfortunately, it wouldn't allow us to open up any more under U22 slots. And we kind of want to move away from sort of the aging players, but Antoine Griezmann, I think it could be quite exciting, just for a short-term thing, short-term hit. But that feels a bit of the old way rather than a new way. So, Antoine Griezmann could be very, very interesting. Then you've got Lewis O'Brien, our lovely, lovely midfielder that we had from Nottingham Forest, who's currently back there. He's been on the bench for them so far this season. He's currently linked with a move to Leeds United. Deal looking to be around the 10 million mark, which is obviously something we've not been able to buy at. It's unfortunate. He wants to play back in England, dropping down to the Championship. Obviously, could potentially see Leeds coming back up, but they're going through a bit of a transitional period. They've had a new manager, they've gone through quite a few changes, especially in the team. They've had a lot of injuries, so things aren't moving quite as well as they should be for them, which is great because I hate Leeds. Sorry, did I say that one out loud? Mateusz Glik decided to tweet out that it would be great because he could finally rent out his flat in Harrogate, which is just, it tickled me. Really, really tickled me, that one. So, yeah. We've got that. Stu's just saying, sell, yes. Move, no. Makes zero sense to relocate, which is 100% accurate. It really does make zero sense to relocate. Why would we want to do that? Really makes no sense. Other things, I don't know whether you might have seen, you might have not seen, but there's been a new DC UK jersey up on the store this week. Feel free to go and check it out, dcunitedkingdom.com. But if you have a little look just down here, you'll see some nice modelled jerseys just right here. I'm very happy about them. They look great. I thought I need to do something a little bit fresh. Get black and red in there. Bit of a wavy effect. Got the feathers on the arms. Some feedback already is that it is looking great. I would love to see some out in the wild. So if you are looking to purchase one, if you look in the description, you'll see a link to all things DC UK. Click on that and that should take you through to the merchandise store. So feel free to go through. They are 40 English pounds. 40, not English, British pounds. So go ahead, go and get yourself one. I think the delivery time, because everything's made to order, the delivery time is about a week and a half. So not too long, actually. Get yourselves one of those now. And then other news that came out this week. I'm just going to leave these guys here because they're kind of covering the microphone a bit up. It's kind of well-placed, really. Is Loudon. This is Loudon United related. Not often that we actually do anything Loudon United on this podcast, but I thought it was quite a funny one. Harvey Neville, Phil Neville's son, has signed for Loudon United on loan until the end of the season from Inter Miami. Not sure what I'll make of this. If he's good, fair play. But he's... if he couldn't quite make it into Miami's B team, does he really think he could do it at Loudon? Happy to be proven wrong, though. Be keeping an eye on Loudon's results, as I always do. I've got the alerts up on my phone whenever their games are happening. And we'll see what happens. So that's pretty much it for the news and talking points. So let's leave it there, and we'll move on to a match review. So last weekend, we played New York Red Bulls. I was hoping we were going to get something out of this one. But Red Bulls, they've been defensively astute over the last sort of 10 games or so. The result leaves us below the playoff line now, so we are currently in 10th in the league. The top 9 teams, which still baffles me, make it through to the playoffs. But yeah, we are currently below, so if we don't make the playoffs, it's going to be frustrating as hell. We did have a debutant, two debutants in this game, in Pirani and Fajardo as well. But Pirani made his debut from the first whistle. From what I saw in the game, I was quite impressed by him. Direct, willing to play the ball, willing to receive the ball, looked very lively. Had an opportunity, but was tackled at the last minute, which I think he probably should, if he looked at it, looks back at it himself, he's probably thinking, I should have done better there. But I was pleased with him, really happy to see how well he did. Fajardo gave away the free kick that led to their goal, which is frustrating, especially in the 88th minute when they scored. But, you know, hey-ho, it is what it is. We've got... we just move on. And then Ted made his return as well, back from injury. Great to see him back in the team. Very much similar sort of player to Pirani. I would love to see Pirani, Click, and Ted in the starting lineup, because that is a very quick, very creative, and quite a scary attacking line there. Benteke, who hasn't scored for quite some time now, must be running low on confidence. He needs something to help him hit the ball into the back of the net. And maybe he's having those three from the get-go would be that. So Click, if you weren't aware, missed the game at the weekend due to a suspension. So that's why he wasn't playing. I mean, when you look at the Red Bulls' goal, when you look at what happened, so it was a free kick. It was from a wider sort of angle, and it was a left footer in James Tolkien who scored. I think it was James Tolkien. First name's James. John? One of the two. But yeah, when you look at it, he managed to get the ball around the keeper, which is not particularly great when you think about that. Round the wall, bounce, and then into the back of the net. You'd want your keeper to be able to, one, save it. Wasn't the most difficult one to save. You could probably put it down to seeing the pot late, potentially, but and the fact that it was a little bit of a bounce, but again, should be able to read it. And also to the wall position as well. The fact that it was from a wide angle, yet he was still able to curl the ball around the wall and get it in at the near post. Very, very disappointing. And a little stat about it as well is the fact that it's the 8th time Tyler Miller has been beaten from outside the box this season, which is more than any other MLS keeper. I'm getting really frustrated with Tyler Miller in goal now. I'm sick of the silly mistakes, and I want to see Bono in goal now. I would love to know. I know I mentioned it on the podcast last week, that the majority of you think that Bono should be in goal, but this is just, it's getting frustrating to the point where we're throwing goals away and it's costing us points. It really is costing us. It's not the fact that it's a goal that we're already down and it's a silly mistake and then cost us another that we've conceded again. It's the fact that this one actually cost us a point, which could prove vital come towards the end of the season here. So for me, it is incredibly frustrating that this is happening time and again, and nothing's changed. And that's down to Wayne, that one. At the end of the day, he's the one who puts the team out. He's the head coach. He needs to take responsibility for this. I'm just getting frustrated with it. The commentary, if you were watching the full game or if you decided to watch the highlights, state of the game was lacking quality when there was not many shots in this game, not many on target. It was just, feels like this game over the last few years has just been poor. And Red Bulls have been not particularly brilliant this season either. And you could tell. It was just a game between two teams who are lacking confidence. They're lacking the ability to do what's needed to be done. It's just incredibly frustrating. One from a podcasting point of view, because I want to be able to talk about some good stuff for a change, but also from a fan point of view, because as fans we want the best for the team and we want to see the team do well. It's just not happening right now. So to kind of go through sort of the stats of the game, possession wise they had 57.4 to our 42.6. They had 9 shots on goal to our 9 attempts at goal to our 4. They had 3 on target to our 0. Yay. And then XG, you're going to love this one. 0.8 to 0.1. 0.1. 0.1 of expected goal. What was even the point in turning up? It's just, yeah, frustrating. I wrote down as well, could we have done better with the chances given to us? Yeah, absolutely. We had Ted, towards the end of the game, who had an opportunity, but he scuffed it wide. We had Pirani going through on goal, getting tackled last minute. He probably should have done better there as well. So, yes, we had those two key... Those are the key opportunities, the half chances, I would call them. And yes, we definitely should have done better. Red Bulls, they don't give up many chances. So when they do come your way, you need to take them. Otherwise, nothing's going to happen. So, yeah. It is what it is. We had that game. What needs to be done? Well, we'll be talking about that in the fan questions because there's a lot of what needs to be done. It's kind of a theme for this episode, should we say. But that's the kind of review. I still haven't done a jingle for this next segment. But we're going to do it. But just before we move into it, Stu's just saying, not getting points off the New Jersey Pink Owls always hurts, but not getting them in such a poor way is saddening. It really is. Couldn't agree more. But we're going to move on to the strange and useless facts about USA Philadelphia edition. So this is a new segment for this season where I'm looking at giving you some extra knowledge about USA. If you're not from the States and you're thinking, I want to know a bit more about our opponents. I want to know more about where they're from. So this gives us some detail. And it's all about the weird and wonderful stuff, because who doesn't enjoy a bit of weirdness? So Philadelphia, some weird facts for you, or strange facts that you might not have known. So it is known as the birthplace of America. The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were both debated and signed within the walls of the city's Independence Hall. There you go. When I looking at these, I genuinely did not know a lot of these ones. So, it was the first capital of United States of America before DC. That's something I did not know when looking this up. So, Philadelphia was the capital. The more you know. It is home to the iconic cheesesteak sandwich. I think everybody knows the Philly cheesesteak. And it's also home to the infamous, famous there, Rocky Steps as well. That old one. That old chestnut. And then the Liberty Bell, which is another popular Philadelphia landmark, is famous for its large crack. Now, no innuendo, no funny jokes, please. Thinking about you, Stu, here. And large cracks. However, nobody knows exactly when or why it's cracked. The bell last rang for George Washington's birthday in 1846, coinciding with the notable expansion of the crack. So the crack was already there. It was a little crack, then it became a big crack. And it's not been rang since then. So yeah, there you go. Those are some weird and wonderful facts about Philadelphia. But then, we've got some weird laws. So, laws time. It's apparently illegal to sing in the bathtub in Philadelphia. So, it only says bathtub. So, showers, you can sing in the shower, but not in the bathtub. So, there you go. Using goldfish as bait fish while fishing is breaking the law. So, don't go using that. It's also illegal for a child's bedroom to be more than 200 feet away from a bathtub, shower, or toilet. Which is... that's kind of, to me, that's more understandable, that one. Because you want your child to be near something like that. Especially a toilet, when you're potty training. You need them near the toilet. Because accidents happen. I'm speaking from current experience, because we've been going through that with our little lad. And he's doing very well, if you wanted to know. Any person who's participated in a duel is ineligible to become a governor. So don't go challenging anyone to a duel if you want to be governor of Philadelphia. That's your takeaway from that one. And last but not least, we're not going to get wedded down to this one, but it is illegal to discharge a cannon at a wedding, because you know you might hit something. It's illegal to discharge a cannon at a wedding. There you go. The more you know about Philadelphia. That's probably what I should call the segment, The More You Know. Let me know what you think. Is that a good title for this segment, The More You Know? I'm thinking it is. I'm thinking that then becomes the jingle, The More You Know, and we then get moving forward. So cool. Right. Ringing your bell when your crack's expanded is something people pay for. Stu, why? I mean, sure. You had to say that, didn't you? Thanks for that, mate. Thanks for that. And The More You Know. Good title. Yep. I'm happy that you're thinking that. So we're going to go for it moving forward. Let me just take a quick note of that. Because otherwise I will forget. The More You Know. So, preview time for this weekend's game against Philadelphia. So, yes, we are currently out of form. And, yes, as mentioned, we have slipped outside the playoffs. However, we will be looking to make amends this weekend. However, it is against one of our bogey teams as well. So, we generally don't tend to do too well against Philadelphia. However, this year we've done better than we did last year, considering last year we lost 13-0 on aggregate. So far this year, it's currently 0-0. So, we still yet to have scored against them since 2021. But, yeah. It is better than what we did last year. Philadelphia, they've been brilliant at home in 2023, but away, they've not been as good. And I will talk you through some of the key facts about that as well in this. So it is on Saturday evening, 7:39 p.m. Kickoff, Eastern time, which means I'd say 0039 a.m. kickoff for us over here in the UK. But good news, it's on Apple TV for free. No need for MLS season pass for this one, which is fantastic. So it means we can get more eyes on this weekend's game. So I'm very much looking forward to that one. Head-to-heads between the two sides. We've played 38 times overall. We've won 11. Philadelphia won 19. And there's been 8 ties. The two teams in 2023 so far, the two games have been goalless. As mentioned, they've been 0-0. The last time we scored against Philly was back in 2021. In that game, as mentioned, in the trivia time question, the 3-1 victory. So almost 2 years to the day since we last scored against Philadelphia. The last time Philly were at Audi Fields, they, shall we say, demolished us 6-0 in the second half, which saw them score 3 goals in the space of 9 minutes. And on top of that as well, Carranza also bagged a hat-trick in that game. So we hopefully will do a bit better. Can't get much worse, can it? So Philadelphia have failed to score on 4 occasions in 2023 so far this year, and 2 of those were against DC United. So I'm pretty pleased about that. DC have scored in their last 7 home fixtures, going back to a 2-0 defeat by Columbus Crew on April 8th, which is the only time the club have failed to score at home so far this year, which is really good. I didn't realise that. That was a nice little start, I thought. We've picked up 4 points from the last 5 fixtures, whereas Philly have picked up 9 points in that time. Although, Philly's away record, as I mentioned just previously, I've seen them only pick up 4 points in the last 5 away fixtures, whilst we've picked up 8 in the last 5 home. So we are a little bit better at home than Philly are away, which is kind of what you'd expect, but very surprising about Philly's away record, considering they're near the top of their East Conference. Philly have also only won 4 of their last 19 away fixtures, dating back to last September. So that's incredible, that the fact that they've only won 4 games in almost a year away from home. I'm massively surprised by that one. And so far this season, 12 of Philadelphia's games overall, I've seen both teams score. So we could expect to see some goals in this one. I have 2 of the fixtures so far this year. There's been no goals at all. And that was obviously against between us and them. But we could get goals this weekend. We've only failed to score once at home so far this year. So who knows? Stu coming in with trivia time answer. He thinks it's Steve Burbow. We shall see. And he's also saying that Philly there for the taking. Benteke double and a click screamer. Ooh. I mean, I wouldn't say no to a clicky screamer. I'm sure a click wouldn't say no to a clicky screamer. Availability-wise, this is just a rough guess. I didn't get round to going on to the press conference earlier on today, but and I've not seen anything come out from it either, which is a little bit surprising. I don't know whether people are taking more notice of Donald Trump being in the courts today and getting his mugshot done over in Atlanta. So we're up against that this evening. Rodriguez and Jay-Z are obviously both out with a knee and ankle injury, respectively. For Philadelphia, they have already done their press conference yesterday, and they already mentioned about who's out. Julian Carranza, who scored a hat-trick against us, as mentioned before, last year, he's questionable. So he has been training this week, and they are hoping that he'll be back for this weekend, but it's not 100% there just yet. Looking at their squad, they've got 2 DPs and Daniel Gazdag, who's a midfielder, and Mikel Ure, who's a forward. Ure, who's been a little bit out of form recently, but he did manage to pick up a goal and an assist in their previous fixture against Monterrey. in the League's Cup third place game. So he looks like he's starting to come back into it now, but it was one game, so we'll see what happens. They don't have any under 22 initiatives. They don't have any Generation Adidas players. They primarily go along with their homegrowns, which they currently have four in their main squad at the moment. So there's got some players out on loan. If you've kept up with Philly over the last sort of few years, you'll know that they are very much known for bringing players through their academy and playing them in the main team, the first 11. And then they've been sold on to Europe. So Brendan Aaronson is kind of a big one there. He's moved on. He's currently Leeds United, I think. Has he moved now? Yeah. He's one of those names that has moved on. There's been others as well. For me, keys for this match to getting something out of it, we need to somehow get Benteke firing. With Click coming back, and I think Pirani being in the squads, Ted being back, things could be looking up for us in this aspect. So if we get them firing, Click and Pirani especially, I think we could be seeing some goals. Otherwise, yeah, we need to, if Carranza's playing, we need to find a way of keeping him quiet. They don't have Shabalko anymore because he moved on to Chicago, but they do have a lot of good players, and Jim Curtin is a very, very good manager. He knows how to get that team working. He tends to play a 4-4-2 diamonds, narrow-wise anyway, so potentially using the wings might be a good way forward. Overloading their back line, that could be the way to do this one. Prediction-wise, I'd love for us to win. It would be something to finally get that win against them after seeing so many heavy defeats and not winning for such a long time. To get that monkey off our back, really, if anything. But realistically, I think we'll probably draw this one. I don't think it'll be 0-0 again. I think we'll see goals. I think it'll be potentially a 2-2 draw. But yeah, I'd love for us to win, but realistically, I think 2-2 is the way this one's going to go. So yeah. That's my take on this weekend's game, which means we're going to move on to the fan questions, which we've got a few come in from Discord. So if you don't know, there's a DC United Discord channel, which you should go and check out. Let me know if you need a link or an invite to it. I can sort people out with that. But there's a lot of great people in there. Always chat pretty much every single day, so do check it out. But I did ask in there for some questions for this week, and first up, and as mentioned, there's a theme of what's to be done. So PDK has asked the lack of away support, what's to be done, and there's a few things that need to be tackled here. So bear with me on this one. So performances on the pitch need to improve, first and foremost, because who wants to go and see something that's not entertaining? Yeah, agreed. Performance on the pitch needs to improve. I know it's been mentioned about security, as well as being sometimes an issue, and. To me, this is something that you kind of see across MLS stadiums, across the board. It's not something I can see being fixed anytime soon, but generally you'll see over here in Europe, there'll be dedicated away sections, and you'll have a lot more away fans going to it because there's shorter distances. That's going to be the big thing, is the distance between the teams and getting people to those games. But what you'll see also is the clubs will do packages directly to include travel, accommodation if necessary. And I generally don't see that. And I don't know whether that's because the model of selling tickets in the USA doesn't allow for it in Major League Soccer, but it's one of the things I would love to see happen is the club put up a package where you get the game, you get the ticket, you get travel, whether that's a train, bus, flight, if required, accommodation, but probably travel back the same day, and probably food or something daft like that. So that's one thing I want to say, but also time of the matches, because at the moment they're in the evening, like as mentioned, 7:30, so 7:39 kickoffs. That doesn't help in getting away fans to a game, because if you look in the UK, for example, when it's a midweek game, which is not the best scenario to be comparing it to, but midweek games are in the evening, so that's the closest thing we're going to get. You don't get as many fans going to those games in the way, and because if you think about it, if we're talking about an away match of home in the UK, 7:45 or 8 o'clock kickoff, the game's finished. By that time, it's like 9:45, 10:00 in the evening. You've then got the travel, which if you're lucky and it's a local derby, you might get home by 11:30 midnight, potentially. When you think about getting out of the stadium, then get into your car, or however you get there, get on the bus. Then you got to travel, then you've got traffic, etc., etc. So you've got that to take into account. Now, when you look at America, it's a bit bigger. So when you look at even for us to go up to Philadelphia, it just doesn't seem plausible or feasible to actually really do it. Heather's just saying, wonder about the league rules model for ticket sales. Even locally, our NWSL team, which is the Washington Spirit, please go and check them out. Especially after this Women's World Cup, it's great to see so much more interest in the women's game. So I'm definitely a heck of a lot more interested. I was interested before, especially after the Lionesses did so brilliantly at the Euros, but it just certainly has picked up a lot better, and it's just, I want to see more of it. So do go and check the Spirit out. But yeah, even locally, our NWSL team do really good, really great ticket food goodies promos. Hello, bottomless brunch at the game. Ooh, that's a good promo. But for away, I haven't seen anything. Rely on the support groups to make away trips. And that's what I am kind of talking about. We shouldn't have to rely on the support groups to do these trips, put on buses, this, that, and the other. The club should do this. It alleviates the pressure from the supporters groups. The club have the people should be able to sort these kind of things out. They should be able to liaise with the right people from the opposing team to get the travel sorted to the stadium, etc., and all that. So for me, that's what needs to be done. So you've got to be looking at entertainment on the pitch, kind of entertainment off of it when you look at the packages, and the timings as well for the games, because I can imagine a lot more people would be better off going to a game that's an away game that kicks off at 3 p.m. on a Saturday, or 3 or 9, than a evening game on a Saturday, or even on Sunday, for example, like we had at the weekend. So yeah, hopefully the kickoff times will get better in 2024, this being the first season of Apple TV, and I think they just wanted to get every single game on at the same time, so they could do this MLS 360 thing. But I would love to have a Friday night game, then Saturday during the day, during the day US time, which means 8 o'clock in the evening for us over here in the UK would be amazing. And then just just spread it out, because surely the more you get and the more you get to see, the more sticky you're going to be in terms of keeping them on a season pass. So yeah, so thank you for that, PDK. That was a really good question. John, who is also RFK Refugees, so go and check them out. They do United 96, they also do other podcasts as well. So you've got this, they do a Spirit podcast, and there's a Loudoun United one as well, so do go and check them out. They're John, absolute brilliant guy. I've had him on the show before, really enjoy chatting with him. But he's then gone, lack of goal scoring, what's to be done? Well, there's a simple answer, put the ball in the net. Quite simple, really. I mean, it sounds simple, but we need to get confidence to Benteke somehow. And not actually rely on Benteke all the time, because we're seeing a lot of Route 1 football going up to Benteke. He brings it down. He's expected to do all that work up top. With Taxi leaving, and we've not really got anyone there to kind of mop things up or take attention away from Benteke. But hopefully we'll have that in Click and Pirani and Ted coming back as well. Just to kind of alleviate that a little bit of pressure from him. Because I think that's probably what's been the case, is he's had a lot of pressure on him, which means he's probably feeling it. And that's where the struggles come from. When you don't score for a few games, that turns into 5-6 games, which turns into 10-11 games, which is where we are with Benteke. So hopefully we'll start seeing some pressure being alleviated from him with the players coming back, and we'll start seeing goals flowing. But I also think we need to look at our set pieces as well, because we have big guys up top. We have big guys in defence. We should be using them from free kicks, from corners. There was something actually I did spot earlier on today. I was going through YouTube stories. I started doing it, and then you just end up going through it, and then before you know it, a couple of hours have passed. Maybe it's not that bad, but I did spend quite about half an hour whilst cooking dinner just looking at YouTube stories. There's one from The Athletic, and it was talking about the amount of goals that are scored from corners on average in the top 5 leagues in Europe. And to get from a corner, to get a shot on target, 7% of corners end up with a shot on target, and then 1% end up with a goal, which is kind of scary to think about that. But I think you look at our aerial duels, you look at Benteke's, you look at Birnbaum's, you look at their aerial ability, we should be exploiting that. That's something we should really need to be doing. So I'll be looking forward to seeing how that comes up, but we do need to really need to be taking more chances on that side of things. So that's what I would do anyway, in terms of getting goals in the back of the net. It's just trying to alleviate some of the pressure and give Benteke some of his confidence back. Right, so we need to look at the next question, which is from Kimmy on Discord. A lack of drive and hope after going a goal down. What should be done about it? So let's have a look at that. So lack of drive. I think there's a couple of things on that one. I don't think there's really a lack of drive. I think it's a lack of confidence. I think that's what that's coming from, that one. So I'm trying to think of the best way of putting this. How can I put this? Yeah, there's a lack of confidence, and when you've got that lack of confidence, that means the drive just then disappears a bit. And we need to see the people on the pitch driving it. We need to see them G'ing up the players, because if I'm honest, I don't see a lot of the players trying to rally the troops. That's what I want to see, is people rallying the troops. And it just doesn't happen. So we'll see if that does. And we need to see people getting back involved within the team and trying to get them moving forward. That's what needs to happen, I think. Is it too late to hire Ted Lasso as an advisor? I don't think it is. I think we need a bit of fun in there. That would be ideal. Have a bit of fun. But the last time we went down that road, didn't end up too well. So, yeah. There needs to be something. And I think we need to look at the players who are seen to be the elder statesmen, like the Birnbaums, the Bentekes, those kind of players who've been around the club Benteke's only been around us for a year, but the ones who've been around for a little bit longer, and you're looking to those guys to really lead the team. And that just kind of points onto the point that you've just raised there, Stu, which is, do I think we suffer with a lack of leadership on the pitch? And I think we do. You generally don't see a really loud voice since Bill has left. There's no loud. And I just want to take you back to a time, to not such a good time, but in COVID, when we had the MLS's back tournament. So just cast your minds back to then and just think back, if you watch those games, and how, well, we didn't have any audience in there, so you could hear everything that was happening on the pitch. And it was brilliant. You could hear what's happening on the sidelines, and you could hear literally the instructions, what the players were saying to each other, and all you heard from us when you watched DC United was Bill, from the back, shouting. And I just don't sense we get that at the moment with any of our players, that you've got someone barking orders. I think that's what we need. We need someone to be barking. We need someone to be able to rally the troops. And I'm not dissing anyone, any of the players. I'm not attacking their personalities. I'm not trying to do that. And if it comes across that way, I do apologize. But I feel like we need someone to just be able to go on the pitch, put their foot up someone's arse when they're doing something wrong. That's what I want to see. You look at Onana for United, and I think it was one of the friendlies in pre-season to Harry Maguire, and the way he went at him, that maybe it's not quite like that, but that's the kind of thing I want to see, is for someone to take accountability. I think that's the word I'm looking for, is accountability on the pitch. So that's what I want to see. I know this is funny. Aaron, who is Wayne Rooney and what's to be done of him? So Wayne Rooney was one of England's greatest ever strikers. Was top goal scorer for England before Harry Kane came along. And someone who started off young, looked old already, and scored his first senior goal for Everton against Arsenal as a 16-year-old. And again, there was actually, weirdly, another video I was watching, probably on YouTube, probably another short, of Wayne talking about his debut season and how he was playing against Arsenal. And it was his last game before he turned 17, and he always wanted to, and he was saying he wanted to score for Everton as a 16-year-old in the Premier League. And that was his last chance to do it in that game. So he came on in that game. And there was that opportunity, talking about how Sol Campbell backed off. And he's like, this is it. This is the time. And you just see him just shift it better over onto his right foot and just curl it into the top corner, past Seaman and into the top left-hand corner, top bins. And what a goal it was. And that was our introduction to Wayne Rooney. I could go on a bit more about him, but you probably don't want to listen to it too much, because we all know who Wayne Rooney is and what's to be done of him. I would like to see him more on the sidelines. I would like to see him like he was on the pitch, which was, he would be loud, he would be angry if things weren't gone right. He would be a leader on the pitch. And you see, whenever the cameras turned to Wayne on the bench, he sat down talking between the different members of staff. I rarely ever see him standing up shouting at the players. And whether that's his management style or not, whether that's something that he's cognizant of, or whether it's just something that's just kind of happened. But Wayne Rooney as a manager is very different to Wayne Rooney as a player. I would love to see him on the sidelines just getting up and shouting and trying to dictate where people are playing and things like that. That's the kind of manager I'm used to seeing and the kind of manager I want to see. If you look back at when we had Ben Olsen, that's the kind of thing he would do. Now you look at him, he's had a break, and now he's at Houston Dynamo, and you look at them, they're in the Open Cup final, and actually looking pretty good. So good luck to Ben in the Open Cup final against Inter Miami. He's going to need it, but I really actually hope that they do it. Next up, Phantom Signal. Don't know what your actual name is, but alleged lack of cap space, what's to be done? Well, there's not much we can do right now about that. It's a difficult one. We have to wait until next year. And what we need to do is not spend money on players that we're not going to include in the squad and allow them to take on a paycheck, like Ravel Morrison. That's the big one. That's still, I don't know how we've done that. We need answers on how that has actually come about and how he's still able to take on that paycheck and still count towards our cap space. So, yeah, I want answers on that one. And then, obviously, we've had the taxi situation, which doesn't help, and the fact that we just don't have enough space to buy anyone. So, not much we can do about it. We just have to wait until next year to really do anything about that one. So, yeah, tough. Last question came in. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the username, but Versengatori XLL. DCU continues to fail to incorporate the DC flag into their primary black shirts. What's to be done? I mean, on this one, it's just down here. In the Unite the District. I don't think it's on this year's. But you're right, it's not really prominent. If you want a DC flag prominent on a black and red jersey, just get yourself one of these. Get yourself one of them. £40. Not much. It wouldn't be that much more in dollars, really. So get yourself one of them. It's right across the chest. Right across the middle of the shirt. But yeah, it's down to design at the end of the day. I genuinely don't know. Yeah, just looking at it. So the one, if you're listening to the podcast and you're thinking, what are you talking about? I was talking about the 25th anniversary jersey that we had, which is the, that one which has got the stripes over the shoulder. And then I was looking at the current home shirt as well. And then the one I'm pointing to on screen is the DC UK black and red jersey. Just to help things out there if you weren't sure what I was talking about on that one. But yeah, that's it for the questions. Unless there's going to be any others come in the next 30 seconds in the chat. But yeah, that's pretty much it for this week's show. I do appreciate you all tuning in, whether it's live, whether it's after the fact, or whether you're listening to the podcast on your way home from work or to work or while you're at work or whatever you're doing. Do appreciate it. And if you want to support the show in any way, shape, or form, as much as you can buy the merchandise, you can subscribe to the channel. That's always helpful. You can give this a like. If you're listening to the podcast, or if you've got a few moments and you are watching on YouTube, go on to Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to the show. Leave a rating and a review because it will help boost the numbers. Boost the rankings on it as well, and help get this show to a wider audience, which is what this is all been about. Trivia time answer. So just as a reminder, the question was, last time DC United beat Philly at Audi Field was back in 2021 in that 3-1 victory. Who scored the own goal that gave Philly their solitary goal? It was, as Stu said, Steve Birnbaum. And that's it for this week. As always, thank you very much for listening, watching, however you consume this content. Do you get a cookie? You get a thumbs up from me. And do remember to go and check out the MLS 101 if you missed that. Just go onto the YouTube and go onto the DC United Kingdom page and you'll see that, which was all about the 2023 player format. I've got a few ideas to do more of those, so I will hopefully be recording those over the next couple of weeks, and so you'll see a few more of those coming out, and you'll gain more knowledge about Major League Soccer. So that's it for this week, and all that's left to do is play the outro. So until next time, Vamos United. Tell them tuck the collar for the quote. On record, off record, I still want the act, not the ghost.